Well, hello, good morning, everyone. Today, I'm going to be speaking from the last chapter of the book of John. John, chapter 21. Now, in my Bible, the heading says epilogue. A definition of this is a section or a speech at the end of a book or a play that serves to comment on what's gone before, a conclusion, if you like, to what has happened. Today, I want to give you 6 points that I've discovered from this epilogue, 6 points that I hope will help you. So the setting here is after the resurrection. And I guess the disciples felt they'd all messed up. You can imagine, can't you, in the fear and the confusion of their last week that they've, for example, not even been able to stay awake for 1 hour in the garden with Jesus. They'd not being able to prevent Jesus being arrested. Peter has publicly denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. So who could blame them? They just want to get away from it, don't they? So I'm going to ask Sue to read the first of our passages from chapter 21. So John 21, starting at verse 1.
Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night.
Here we are. The disciples are going back to the old ways of doing something. They're going back to something familiar, fishing. Sometimes we crave the routine of what we know. In the Old Testament, the Israelites even said they wanted to go back to Egypt, to go back into slavery, because they preferred what they knew to the adventure that they were on with God that we know as the Exodus. So for some of you, this lockdown has been wonderful. You've enjoyed meeting by Zoom. You've enjoyed a different rhythm of life. You've been able to do things during lockdown that the busyness of life previously prevented. You've slowed your pace of life and you've learnt new stuff. Yet for others, it's been horrendous. You've missed family and friends and meetings and gathering together. You've missed hectic social lives and you can't stand Zoom. And there will be all manner of options between these two. And I suspect we've all missed singing. We'd all prefer not to have to wear masks. So I wonder, how are you feeling as we come out of lockdown? Are you already booking a hug with someone that you've missed? A party? Are you booking a flight to some foreign destination? Or do you just crave to be in meetings again? We must respect there are going to be many different opinions here. And some of those who have been most affected by lockdown will be equally affected and anxious about coming out of lockdown and entering back into this strange new world. For the disciples who have been on a roller coaster ride with Jesus over the last 3 years, and then they witness the crushing events of the last few days, their rabbi has been crucified. And then the joy of seeing Jesus risen from the dead, and they've seen him not once, but twice. Their worlds have been turned upside down. Maybe we can relate to the fact that they want to go back to the old ways, the familiar ways, to say, "I'm going fishing." So, as we come out of lockdown, as we feel we want to go back to the old ways, the familiar ways, I wonder what for us is the equivalent of going fishing. So here's point one. You might feel you want to go back to the familiar ways, but there is another encounter with Jesus just around the corner. Sue will continue reading to us.
At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead.
Over the last few weeks, once a week, Richard, Morris and Steve and myself have been doing some cycling once a week. And a couple of weeks ago, we cycled along the Gloucester to Sharpness Canal. There were lots of fishermen out and about, not like the disciples with boats and nets, but sat huddled in the cold, their equipment scattered all around them, so much equipment. And they nearly all have big trolleys just to cart all of their equipment to the favourite site, the fishing rods, and they all had several. Seemed to be longer than anything I've ever seen before and right across the towpath. And yet the question they inevitably get asked as they have to move their kit again to allow three cyclists, who look surprisingly like an episode of Last of the Summer's Wine. The question they get asked is the same question Jesus asked the disciples. "Have you caught anything?" And invariably, we got the same answer, "No." Or the slightly more positive version of the same answer, "Not yet." Now, neither Richard, Steve, or I are fishermen, and we're certainly not Jesus. So we wouldn't presume to tell them where to put their rods in order to catch fish. But Jesus gives these disciples specific instructions. And guess what? They catch fish. Lots of fish. So I want to pick up the next 4 points out of the passage Sue just read. They don't know it's Jesus when they're told to put the nets on the other side of the boat. When we're stuck, maybe we need to listen to advice from others and trust it could just be Jesus speaking to us. We need to discern what's God's voice to us. Now, they were professional fishermen, but they hadn't caught anything all night. Sometimes trying something new might just catch some fish. So point two, if we're stuck, try something new, something different. So then what was it alerted them to the fact it was Jesus? Well, they'd seen a miracle like this before. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, we read of a similar miraculous catch of fish. This was when they first started to follow Jesus, and they left their boats behind to become fishers of men. And here, Jesus more than grabs their attention, once at the start of his ministry and now at the end. Jesus is doing miracles with fish. So what about you? Have you seen Jesus move in your life? I'm going to do an experiment. I wonder if you've ever seen God answer one of your prayers. Would you give me a wave? If you've ever had a prayer answered, give us a wave. That's great. See, whether it's for provision, for finance, for healing, for restoration, for protection, whatever it is, the God who did it before can do it again. He's the same God. Sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget that God answered our prayers before. So let's not forget. Let's not look to go back to the familiar. Let's look to the God of the miraculous. For God is still in the business of doing miracles. God has answered our prayers before. He can do it again. That's point three. God has answered our prayers before. He can do it again. Then there's the charcoal fire and the cooked fish ready, waiting for them. Like last week when I talked about the road to Emmaus, hospitality is central to this encounter. Incidentally, I owe you all an apology. I missed a key fact in last week's talk. It was there in my notes, but I just didn't read it out. If those two disciples on the road to Emmaus hadn't insisted on offering hospitality to the stranger that had joined them on the road, they'd have missed out on entertaining Jesus. Their eyes wouldn't have been open to the reality of the restoration. They'd have missed out. We need to be hospitable. So here we are, we're back on the beach. The charcoal fire is crackling and glowing red. The fish have had an olive oil glaze put on them, and they're cooked to perfection, and the skin is just cracking open, and the flesh is flaking and ready to be put within warmed bread. Jesus knew just what these disciples needed. They needed to encounter him again, and they needed feeding. Jesus knows our circumstances too, our lives and what we need and when. And he goes ahead of us and prepares for us. For these disciples, is breakfast. Jesus knew that. He was up early. He caught the fish. He buys or breaks the bread himself, and then he provides it for them. Point four today I want you to know is that we can trust Jesus to provide for us, both the extraordinary and the ordinary, like a breakfast bat. And notice too that God includes the disciples in the miraculous. He could have said, when they'd not caught anything, he could have said, don't worry, guys, I've got 153 fish. I caught them earlier. I don't need them. You can have them. They're just sitting in the net at the shoreside. But no, Jesus gives them instructions, something for them to do. And as they are obedient, they are intrinsically involved in landing this catch, in bringing it to shore, in counting the fish, 153 of them. Incidentally, that number has no significance. It basically means a lot of fish. Jesus included them in, and he includes us in too. We get the privilege of being co-workers with God himself as we follow his instructions. We too will see amazing miracles and be part of seeing them come to fruition when we join with Jesus. So point five, God involves us and wants us to join in with what he is already doing. Sue, please carry on.
After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep.
You know, there are many sermons and books and articles and blogs written on this encounter, theological expositions on the meaning of the Greek words used and when and how. And I encourage you, please do read up on all of this. But here is my very simple take on this. After sitting around the glowing embers of a fire, with a great catch of 153 fish sitting waiting to be sorted, with full bellies from breakfast, Simon Peter is transported back to another place, a place where he messed up. You see, it was around another charcoal fire that he had publicly denied knowing Jesus three times. Three times before the rooster crowed. Imagine how he felt now as Jesus, the risen Christ, looks at him with love in his eyes and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Not once, but three times. Jesus tells him to feed his lambs, take care of his sheep, to feed his sheep. Simon Peter moves from messed up to blessed up. He's given a new commission, forgiven and told to look after the church of Christ. Now, this is my last point, my last lesson from today, from this passage. No matter who you are or what you've done, you're never too messed up to not come to Jesus and receive a fresh commission, a new job to do with him. So what have we learned this morning? One, we might want to go back to the old ways, but there is a fresh encounter with Jesus just around the corner. Two, if we're stuck, be prepared to try something new, something different. Three, God has answered our prayers before. He can do it again. Four, we can trust Jesus to provide for us both the ordinary and the extraordinary. Five, God involves us and wants us to join in with what he's already doing. And six, you're never too messed up that you can't be blessed up and receive a new commission from Jesus. I pray God speaks to you this morning through these, and that at least one of those points makes sense to you. Thank you for listening.